Good morning, everybody. I'm glad that you could join us here at Gateway City Church. I'm Pastor Matt. And just before I begin to speak to you this morning, I'm just going to open up in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give our hearts, we give our lives to you. And I pray, Lord, that every single person listening would open up their heart, their mind, to what you want to speak to them this morning. Speak to them through your word that you gave us many, many years ago, and is still relevant to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's a common saying within our culture today. You've probably heard it. We talk about telling our truth. We talk about telling my truth, which is really interesting. This is a fairly new phenomenon. I didn't grow up using that type of verbiage, but the idea behind it is for people to be able to see our experiences, for people to experience or hear what we have experienced, basically our opinions. I think in the past we probably would have said, this is my opinion or this is my experience, and now we are saying, this is my truth. I guess the question that I have is are we correct in using words like this, saying something is my truth? Are we right? Are we speaking the truth within our own eyes? When we say this, it's kind of like saying that there are multiple truths out there. And I'm going to give you my truth. I'm going to give you my experience in reality. And in the day and age that we live in, at times it's hard to know what the truth is, isn't it? When you turn on your TV or maybe you open up your laptop or iPad and you look to the news, it's hard to know what is the truth, right? Depending on what news channel you're listening to or what YouTube channel or whatever it is, you can hear different opinions, and they all come across like they are speaking the truth. And they're really, really convincing. But you know just as well as I, it's hard to know what the truth is today. I think that this message I'm going to speak to you this morning will hopefully shed some light upon that. This last spring in my life group, we've been slowly working through the Old Testament, hitting themes in the Old Testament. And we came to the book of Judges, and there's a theme that pops up in the book of Judges that really, really struck my heart. And something that I wanted to share with you this morning that I hope that that it impacts you. I hope that it speaks to you. Judges is a book that kind of lands in an interesting spot. It's during a time in the nation of Israel where they did not have a king. So it's written when they've gotten out of slavery, out of Egypt. The nation of Israel had spent years in Egypt as slaves, the children of Abraham, as we walk through Genesis and Exodus. Moses is sent by God to take them and out of slavery into Egypt, brings them into the desert, and they end up spending 40 years in the desert wandering around. A lot of that time is spent understanding and knowing their God, developing a culture that is God-based. As they leave the desert, God's bringing them into the promised land, and he has very specific instructions for them. He actually asks them to go into the promised land, and he wants them to deal with the inhabitants. In fact, he tells the nation of Israel, I want you to drive the inhabitants out of the land, the people who were living there at that time. He wanted them to drive them out of the land. It seems like an odd thing. Why couldn't they just go in and live peacefully with them? Part of the purpose of God asking the Israelites to drive these Canaanites or inhabitants out of the land is that God was bringing judgment upon them. In fact, earlier in the Old Testament, God speaks about the judgment that will eventually come upon these inhabitants of the land of Canaan because of their sin. God wanted to drive them out of the land, partially because of their sin, and partially because he knew that they were going to be a bad influence upon the people of Israel. There was a situation where he knew that their culture and their religious practices were so toxic that it was going to pull the people of Israel, their chosen people, who's going to display the glories of God to the world, was going to draw them in, and they were going to do the exact same things. He didn't want them adopting these same practices, and so he told them to drive them out of the land. Here, I'm going to take you to Judges chapter 2. It's fairly at the beginning of the book of Judges, and it's God speaking to the nation of Israel, because the reality was is that they didn't fully drive the people out of the land. They didn't obey God in that command. And this is what happens in Judges chapter 2. It says, "The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said to the Israelites, 'I brought you out of Egypt into this land that I swore to give your ancestors. And I said, I would never break my covenant with you. For your part, you were not to make any covenants with the people living in this land. Instead, you were to destroy their altars, but you disobeyed my command. Why did you do this? So now I declare that I will no longer drive out the people living in your land. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a constant temptation to you.'" So God, the angel of the Lord, which many biblical theologians look at this and they think that this is actually God coming down in the form of an angelic figure and speaking to the nation of Israel. And he confronts them and he says, "Listen, you guys didn't obey what I asked you to do. I told you to drive these inhabitants out of the land, not to make covenants with them." This idea of covenant is close relationship, close relationship. In fact, God made a covenant with the nation of Israel. And in that covenant, he made a promise to them. And he says, and in that promise, basically his promise comprised of this. He says, "I'm going to be with you. My presence is always going to be with you. I'm going to protect you, and I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to be with you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to prosper you." This kind of sums up God's promises to the nation of Israel. In return, out of this covenant that he made with them, this promise that he made with them, he asked them of certain things. And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He asked them that they are to love and obey the one true God, which is Yahweh. "I want you to love and obey me. Number two, I want you to teach your children God's laws." Teach your kids. Don't just do it yourself, but teach your children about my ways. He says, "Be thankful for God's blessings." There's all sorts of ways that they were able to show through sacrifices their thankfulness towards God. And the last one is that he asked them, "Do not copy the worship of idols and its practices in Canaan." God knew that they were going to walk into the land of Canaan, and he didn't want them copying the same practices of the culture around them. And so because they didn't obey God and fully driving out the people, he said, "Man, these people are going to stick around and they're going to be constant thorn in your flesh. They're not going to be a blessing towards you. And there's going to be a constant temptation towards sin because of this. Because they didn't obey, there will be a thorn in their side and a constant temptation." Now, you may be asking, how does this apply to me for us in the 21st century from a New Testament perspective? God has not asked us to drive inhabitants out of the land anymore. This was a specific time and for a specific purpose that he gave to the nation of Israel. And yet, there are spiritual principles that we can grab from this story. Oftentimes, what we see in the Old Testament in a very physical manner is applicable to us in the New Testament in a spiritual manner. The people of Canaan, God didn't have a specific issue with them so much as it was their practices. In fact, when we look at the Old Testament, there are many Canaanites that became a part of the nation of Israel. They didn't change their ethnicity, but it had to do with taking on the practices, the belief, and the worship of the one true God. And so God didn't have a specific problem with the Canaanites. He had a problem with their practices, with their religion, and what was coming out of their culture. And for us in a New Testament perspective, what the Canaanites represent, what the story represents, has to do with sin. And it has to do with accepting sinful cultural practices around us. God has asked us in many ways to drive out, not a people, but to drive out sin and cultural practices that are toxic that will affect us. Not to drive them necessarily out of our country, but to drive them out of our lives. Sin is manifested in many, many different ways. And we see in the book of Judges that as they did not drive these Canaanite people out of the land, that they were a constant temptation to them. And we see in the book of Judges that every manner of sin you can imagine, when we open up the Bible, Judges portrays just horrific practices and horrific sin. God wanted them to deal with it. For us in the 21st century, I think the question when we read a book like Judges is we need to ask ourselves, are we dealing with the sin within our own lives? Are we driving it out? Are we dealing with the temptations, or is it going to be a constant thorn in our side? Is it going to be a constant temptation to us? Are we allowing the culture around us to shape us, to tempt us, to drag us down, to destroy us? I'm going to take you to the next scripture, Judges chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. It says this, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. This is interesting. It says that a generation grew up, a generation that was after the generation of Joshua who came in to conquer the land, and they'd forgotten about God. They had abandoned his ways, and they did not acknowledge the Lord. It says that they began to worship the Baals. It's interesting. In the ancient world, and you see this oftentimes in the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's these idols, these gods that are referred to as Baal and Asherah, or Baal and Ashtoreth. And Baal was kind of a male deity, and Asherah was kind of his female consort or his wife. And what they represented in the land of Canaan were these were gods of fertility. Baal was the god of rainfall and fertility, and Asherah, his wife, was similar in terms of female fertility and the birth of children. If you wanted to have fruitful crops, if you wanted to have flocks and herds that grew, if you wanted to have children that were healthy and strong, then you worshiped the god of Baal and Asherah. And in many ways, part of the practice of worshiping them is that men would go to the temple of Baal, and they would have sex with prostitutes. They were temple prostitutes, and that is how they would worship their god. And when we look at what was going on in the ancient world, you can imagine how men would be attracted to this. They would be attracted to this. If I just worship these gods, then I'm going to be prosperous. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be powerful. And I get to go to the temple and have sex with prostitutes. This was the ultimate temptation for them. And they became accustomed to the practices of their neighbors. The longer they were there, as the next generation came up, it just didn't seem so sinful to them anymore. It seemed normal. It seemed natural. And this is what we just do. Is it for us to judge them? They just live differently from us. they became accustomed to the ways of their neighbors, and eventually they just joined right in and became a part of it. So what went wrong? Did the parents not teach the ways of God to their children? How did they forget? We don't really know what happened. What we do know is that it says they did not acknowledge the Lord. They ignored him. They'd forgotten about his goodness. They'd forgotten about his provision. And they'd forgotten about his commandments. They abandoned God and they accepted the cultural practices around them. And this is the lesson for us today. The sin in our lives will conquer us eventually if we don't conquer sin. The sin in our lives will conquer us if we don't eventually conquer sin. If we don't deal with the sin in our lives. Judges, the whole book of Judges is about Israel no longer understanding and knowing the character of the God they serve. They were so used to the culture around them and the sinful practices around them, they didn't know the God that they serve. They didn't know the character of God anymore. In fact, in the book of Judges, what you basically see is this cyclical practice of the people diving full headlong into sin. Other nations around them coming and conquering them and subjugating them. Them calling out to God and God rising up what they call a judge or basically a tribal leader to come and save them. And they would come back to a certain degree to serving God and then the whole cycle would start over again. And so in the book of Judges, you have these people. They're not kings, but they are these tribal leaders that rise up. And there's this one story in the book of Judges that really illustrate this well. His name is Jephthah. And he was a tribal leader, and the Ammonites had come, and they were subjugating the people of Israel. And so God rose up this tribal leader called Jephthah. And he didn't understand the ways of God, and he was going to go out to war against the Ammonites. And as he's going out to war against the Ammonites, he promises God. He says, God, if you help me win this battle, when I come home, whatever walks out of the door of my house, I will sacrifice them to you. I will sacrifice them to you. Terrible promise. He does. He goes out to war against the Ammonites, and the Ammonites are defeated. Jephthah comes home, and the first thing that walks out of the door of his house is his daughter, his only child, in fact. He didn't have any other sons or daughters. And at that moment, Jephthah is heartbroken. He didn't expect that it would be his daughter that would walk out of the house. And so the book of Judges shows us that Jephthah eventually sacrificed her. He sacrificed her because of his promise to God. The Bible doesn't tell us that this was a right practice. It reveals to us in the book of Judges the moral disparity that was happening at that time. Jephthah had no idea who God was. He was a leader of the people of Israel. And he was going out on behalf of God, and yet he had no idea what God wanted or his character or how he should live. And I ask myself that, are we a little bit like Jephthah? We go out on behalf of God. We take on a label of Christian. And we tell people that we follow Jesus, but do we understand? Do we know the character of God? Or are we doing just what is right within our own eyes? In fact, you get to the very end of the book of Judges, and this is the very last verse that sums up what was going on at that time. It says this in Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It says, in those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. All the people did whatever seemed right within their own eyes. It was their truth. It was my truth. This verse at the very end should dig deep within our hearts. The people at this time, they did not have a king. A king was eventually going to come. They were looking forward to a king eventually that was going to be David that would rule them. But ultimately, the king that they needed all the way along and the king that God wanted to give them was himself. God wanted to be their king. And he wanted to guide them and he wanted to direct them. Are we living in such a way that we are doing whatever is right within our own eyes? Are you doing whatever is right within your own eyes? And how do you know what is right in God's eyes? How do you know if you're living and doing whatever is right within your own eyes? How do you know what truth is today? It's hard for us to judge that, isn't it? We need an outside perspective. It's hard for us to see. Oftentimes we're blinded. We're blinded by our own sin. We're blinded by our own opinions and our own perspectives. We're blinded by our own experience. And we're blinded by whatever seems right within our own culture. I would propose to you today that that's why it's so, so important for us to be seeking after what is your will, God? What is it that you have revealed to me within the Bible? His ancient word that was written and given to us through the Spirit that spoke to people thousands of years ago and has continued to speak to people for thousands of years, even today. Do you know what is right within God's eyes? The only way we can find that is through the Word of God, through prayer, through the seeking of the Spirit. Jesus, would you speak to me? Holy Spirit, would you speak to me in prayer? And would you speak to me through the Word of God? Would you allow other people to be a spokesperson in my life? Would I open up my heart to hear what you have to say to me through others? What are you doing that is right within your own eyes? Why don't we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, I look at this book of Judges, and to me, this entire book is one big warning to me and to us, even today, thousands of years later. Lord, I pray that our hearts wouldn't be shaped by the culture around us, but Lord, I pray that they'd be shaped by you. Lord, may we know what your word says. May we know what you've asked of us, Lord. I pray, oh God, that we would do what is right within your eyes. So Lord, we just stand before you today in a heart of repentance. In a heart of repentance. And we ask, oh Lord, that you'd reveal to us the things that need to change. The things that are bringing death and destruction in our lives. Lord, may we not do what is right within our own eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to point you to one last question before we finish today. One thing that I want you to be thinking about as we sign off today is this. What is one area of your life that would change if you fully agreed with God's perspective? I want you to think about that today. What is one area of your life that would change if you fully agreed with God's perspective? Have an awesome day.